8:48 nearly, this week's quotes, starting with Kim Bok-dong, the famous campaigner, but also a victim herself on the Japanese sexual slavery issue. She said, "My only wish is to set the record straight about the past before I die." Now, I'm sure she did set the record straight for many of us before she died, but what she didn't see was the peace of seeing this all settled. Jim Bulley, business and sports editor of the Korea Jarang Daily, is here with this week's quotes. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I mean, she passed away this week, and apparently on her deathbed, she was still very much engaged with the issue.
Absolutely. So Kim Bok-dong, she passed away on Monday at 92 years old. Since the early 90s, for most of the last 30 years, she has dedicated her life as a campaigner, campaigning for more representation of the so-called comfort women, for more information and knowledge about it, and ultimately for reparations from and an apology from Japan. And as you said, right up till her last moments, she was still, you know, talking about the issue. There's some quotes from sort of the last thing she said, according to Yoon Mi-hyang, president of the Korean Council for Justice and Remembrance, said the last audible word she uttered before she died was actually a swear word that expressed her strong anger at the Japanese government. Yonhap have her last word as, "Please fight this out until the comfort women issue is resolved." But either way, you know, down to her very last breath, she was still campaigning.
It's very sad that someone would feel that anger in their last moments of life. And I can't help thinking that we need to do more domestically, because we can't control what the Japanese government does, Jim.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the fight needs to go on with the Japanese government, but we've got to do more domestically to ensure peace. And if that includes the government taking responsibility for not its current failings, but for the failings of past governments, then that's part of the step. If it takes more people engaged in this country to I don't know. I mean, I know it's a difficult situation, but we've got to clearly do more to bring peace to the situation.
Yeah, I mean, something that's very easy to forget today, I think, is that for most of Kim Bok-dong and the other victims' lives, they had to keep quiet about this whole thing because it was shameful. It wasn't until the 90s, it was 1992, when Kim Bok-dong was able to publicly say and identify herself as one of those comfort women and say that she went through this and start campaigning for reparations. Until then, or I think it may have been, yeah, it was 1992, and until then, it wasn't until 1991 that anyone, Kim Hak-sun was the first, but that anyone was comfortable to say in public. You know, until then, it was kind of an embarrassing smear on Korea's history, and even then, when they first started campaigning, they were kind of dispersed by police and stuff like that.
If anyone's listening to this who's been perhaps persuaded or questioned why Japan constantly says it's already apologized, let's look at this quote. It's actually from Kim herself back in 2016, speaking on the radio. "The reason we've been fighting," she said, "all these years is not for money. What we want is a sincere apology and legal reparations from Japan that would help restore our honor." Perhaps that's the key point there, the word sincere.
Yeah.
But also it raises the question of what makes an apology adequate. If in the past Japan has expressed words of apology but then not followed that up with sincerity, does that then undermine past governments' efforts to do whatever they could?
Well, I think that's the case. You know, you've had Japanese governments who have maybe not apologized but have made some sort of indication of remorse, but then, you know, subsequent governments don't behave like that, or you still see senior Japanese officials going to shrines for, you know, senior wartime leaders and things like that, and those things just completely undermine it. And what, you know, the campaigners want is just like a solid hardline apology, an admittance of guilt and an apology, and then, you know, a line underneath it, and that not to be, you know, subsequently changed by later administrations.
Yeah, and that's part of the key point there. When you've got this present Abe administration failing to acknowledge the sensitivity of this, I think all of us, whether we were watching and waiting after that so-called Comfort Women Agreement in 2015 were slightly shocked by Japan's insistence on this word irreversible. It's you know, by its nature, an apology is kind of irreversible if it's sincere.
Yeah.
But if you're insisting on that word being put in there, it completely counters the tone of the apology.
Yeah, I mean, generally in all things, it's not really up to the apologizer to decide whether they've done enough or not.
Yeah, exactly. We also have, for example, these individual cases coming forward, and the way Japan's responded to them is rather callous. And it's not for a whole nation. It's not really a huge amount of money that's being asked for here with the number of victims that are alive today. It's more about pride, I guess you could say. I get the feeling Abe and certain others just do not want to admit to what they're being accused of fully.
Yeah, I don't think it's about the money at all. I think it's about the sort of national pride. I mean, if the Japanese government or any Japanese government fully admits and apologizes, you know, for what happened, we're talking like nearly 100 years ago now, then they're admitting to the fact that, you know, they estimate about 200,000 women were, you know, taken away from their home countries, not just Korea, but also other Asian countries, and lured into sexual slavery. And admitting that just seems to be something that administrations are not willing to do in Japan.
But this is generations on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the other disturbing thing, the idea that you can't say what your grandparents did or your grandparents' generation did was possibly wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it gets into a different psyche. For many, I mean, perhaps for you and I, it's easier for us to say. I don't know, for you. I mean, you know, I can say that Britain carried out some unnecessarily harsh military campaigns.
Absolutely.
During World War II.
Terrible.
I mean,
things.
Okay, that, forget all the things before that with the colonization, which is shameful. But, you know, just World War II.
Yeah.
Being on the victor's side, the victors tell the history. But, you know, the carpet bombing of certain notorious campaigns in Germany, for example.
Yeah.
Some and many have rightly pointed out they went too far. The atom bombs, I mean, still today there's a lot of support for that. But, you know, I think it can be argued that went also way too far.
Yeah, absolutely. But In the UK, you know, for a lot of people, certainly not for everyone, as we're seeing today, but for a lot of people, we don't have that sense of nationalistic pride as a result of those actions over the last 500 years or so. We don't have that same sense of nationalist pride that you see in Japan and also in Korea and a lot of other countries.
But also you and I as citizens, I mean, I'm sure we could find many Japanese people come here in the studio, present them with the likes of Kim Bok Dong and their story, and they would say, I feel so sad that
yeah,
this has happened.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely.
And I dare say we could probably find a few British politicians who would come in here and say those carpet bombings were necessary.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Does common sense prevail in the halls of governments? Sadly, not enough. Jim Bulley with this week's quotes. Hopefully, still, again, as we started, we can find peace, because we can't rely on Shinzo. You know, if Shinzo Abe is not going to give the peace, we've got to find it from somewhere. We'll be back on Monday at 7:05. We'll be on air throughout the Lunar New Year period. So whatever you're up to, hope you get to enjoy some of our special interviews. We're going to have a series of ambassadors, actually, on the line, telling us how they're celebrating Solal and what they're doing with their work here generally. Should be really interesting to get that kind of insight. Coming up next, we've got Inside Korea with Yerrika Park and your latest news headlines.